Shalom everyone, and welcome to our weekly Zohar, and we are in Parashat Korach. Parashat Korach is the third week that we have troubles. And why troubles in the month of Gemini? Let's check it out. Okay, first of all, what is the story? The story is like this. We are in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 1. ויקח קורח בן יצהר בן קהת בן לוי ודתן ואבירם בני אליאב ואון בן פלד בני ראובן ויקומו לפני משה. Okay. And it says, and Korach took, it doesn't say what did he take, we'll come to it. And he took some other people, with other people. And they were, the names are there. And they rose up in front, that was, you know, rose up in Hebrew is also mutiny. That was a mutiny. They came to Moses, and they were like really great people. Korach was a great person. The others were also. It says 250 Nesiei Edah, 250 heads of courts, like really important people, righteous people, Anshei Shem, people with good name. Vayikalu al Moshe v'Aaron, and they gathered on Moses and Aaron. ויאמרו עליהם, and they tell them, רב לכם. You have enough. כי כל העדה כולם קדושים. Everybody is holy. ובתוכם השם, and God is amongst everyone. מדוע תתנסו, why are you patronizing everybody else? על קהל השם. וישמע משה ויפול על פניו. And Moshe hears, Moses hears that, and he falls on his face. In this time, he is not calling God for forgiveness. He's not. And we'll see why. And he speaks to Korach, that's verse 5, ואל כל הדתו and his congregation, לאמור בוקר ויודע השם את אשר לו ואת הקדוש. So, you want it? In the morning, we'll make a test, and God will show who is close to him and who's holy. ואת הקדוש, ויקריב אליו את אשר יבחר, Let us, you know, you want to be priest, you want to be Kohanim. Okay, all of you want to be Kohanim? Let's go with it. Okay? Zot asu, k'chu lachem machtot, take trays for sacrificing incense. Korach and all his people, utnu bahem esh v'simu alem k'toret. Put fire on it and incense. Lifnei Hashem, machar, tomorrow in front of God. Now, let's think about it. It is only very short time since the dedication of the temple, remember, was it? Mm-hmm. On the in Parashat Shmini, when the two sons of Aaron who were anointed as priests, as Kohanim, and they brought the incense, what happened to them? They got burnt, correct? And they were Kohanim, and they were the sons of Aaron. They were no strangers. And it was said about then, no stranger will bring the offering of the incense. These are really wise people. Why, they don't know what we know? We're not so wise that they were. ויאמר משה אל קורח שמעון בני לוי. And then Moses says to Korach, listen to me, the sons of Levi. Don't you have enough? And you want also to be a Kohen? לכן, אתה, וכל הדתך, and they, there's a complaining and so on, and the end of the story is very easy to foresee. If the sons of Aaron brought the incense when they were not supposed to, right? And they got burned. ויקחו איש מחתתו, we have verse 18, each one took his own tray, יתנו על המש, and they put fire on it, and they put incense on it, ויעמדו פתחו על מועד, they stood in front of the tabernacle, ויקל עליהם קורח את כל העדה, and then it says, that's verse 20, וידבר אשר משה ולארון למור, and God speaks to Moses and Aaron, saying, היבדלו מתוך העדה הזאת, ואכלה אותם ברגע. Stay away from these people, I'll finish them in an instant. ויפלו על פניהם ויאמרו, אל אלוהי הרוחות, and so on. Final, whatever happened, let's see. The earth opened its mouth, swallows Koach and his people, and the Yadis, verse 35, and fire came from God, and that fire consumed the 250 that sacrificed the incense. End of story. Why is it that Moses did not try to protect these people? Okay. And Rashi is saying, when Moses falls, like, what's going on on his mind? What's his reaction to it? That's verse 4 in chapter 16. And it says, Vayipol al panav, he falls on his face. And Rashi says, because of the dispute, the machloket. Because it's a dispute. It's not a brainstorming. It is a dispute. There's a big difference. Shekvar ze beyadam sirchon revi'it is already a fourth stink. Why fourth? The first is the golden calf. And then the judgment was so terrible, they almost died, the whole nation. And Moses is praying and praying. Funny, he removes the judgment. And he gets a second chance with the two tablets. They build the tabernacle. They sacrifice. And then the second time, we read in Parashat Naso. Baalotcham, sorry. You know, Vayi bin Saron, as the ark is moving forward, traveling forward, so much light is being revealed. And the next sentence, and the people are complaining, they don't have meat. They were almost killed at that instance, and Moses prays for them. Okay, the next time is last week with the spies. He sends the most righteous people in the camp, the leaders of the tribes, the best of the best, the creme de la creme, and they come to the Holy Land, they come back. Whoa. And the whole nation listens to them and not to him, not to Aaron, not to Joshua, not to Caleb. And he has to pray all over again. So that was last week's parasha, and now this is the fourth time. And you know, the fourth time, as it says, on the fourth time, במחלוקתו של קורח נתרשלו אדם, he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't pray for them anymore. That's what Rashi says. משל לבין מלך ששרח על אביו, he says, it's like a son of a king, that he messed up once, twice, three times, like terrible stuff. And the king has a friend, a very good close friend, and he talks to the king, forgive him, let go. It won't repeat. Once, twice, three times, on the fourth time, he can't. What can he say to the king? Okay, that's psychology. Simple psychology. But here we're talking about something much, much deeper. Because we can ask on verse 5 when it says, Boker, ויודה השם את אשר לו. The morning will rise, the morning will come, and God will tell us who is right. Why do you need to wait for the morning? Okay? And the answer is, when we hear that before, Genesis, story of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. What does it say? Vayashkem Avraham baboker, and Abram rose up in the morning. Why in the morning? So the Zohar explained to it because the morning is the energy of the right column. Aaron was the right column. The Levites and the others, they wanted to take the place of Aaron and the Kohanim as the right column of not the nation, the world. Were they really able to do that? When we read a while ago that God chose Aaron to be the high priest, but then it says because Aaron, in a clean language, forced him to do that. Because Aaron rose up to that level because no one in the world was trying so hard to bring love and peace and harmony among people like Aaron. So when there was a need to find a Kohen, there was no one else. He rose up to the occasion. He stepped up to the plate. Or whatever, he simply earned it. Okay? So who chose who? Did God choose Aaron because he was Moses' brother? Or because he was Aaron, there was no other choice. However, there was somebody else who got the job after Aaron. Pinchas. Pinchas was not supposed to be a Kohen. Because when Aaron was anointed to be a Kohen with his sons, Pinchas was already born. So when the four sons of Aaron were anointed, Pinchas was not anointed because he was already there. So how did he become the high priest for centuries after? And his children became the high priest for so many years. Because when he saw the plague, and that's in another story in a few weeks, when he saw the plague and he simply sacrificed his life for the others, he had 100% certainty that he's going to die. And he knew at that moment that the only way to save the people is to kill himself. And a miracle happened. He went to the dead and he rose up from there. Why? Because he loved the others more. And you know what? Aaron did not do that. Aaron, his grandfather, when the Erev Rav came and said, make us a calf of gold, he took the gold and made the calf. He was supposed to, his tikkun was, says Rabbi Isaac Luria, to say on my dead body, were supposed to kill him. He did not sacrifice himself. Yeah, he gave his time, energy, heart, whatever to the others. He did not sacrifice himself. Pinchas sacrificed himself for the others. So he got the priesthood because he was ready to give everything up. So, but these people, Korach and his, they were not willing to give anything up. They were not ready to sacrifice anything. They just wanted the honor. That brings us to the question, what's in it for us? Are we talking gossip over people that we have no idea who they are? They could be our ancestors, but we don't know them. And the sages are saying very clearly, Al tadun et chavercha shelo tagia limkomo. Never, ever judge anyone else till you are in his shoes. Because whatever he's going through, you have no idea. So what is this story for? And now why do we have three consecutive parashot with terrible stories of illogical, terrible mistakes? The first one, as we said, you're getting the manna from heaven in the middle of the desert. Every day you have the miracle of getting the manna. Every day you have a miracle of getting the water in the desert. Every day you have the clouds around you protecting you. Every day you see the cloud over the tabernacle. And you're still not appreciating that. Now, who could be that crazy not to appreciate? But what's the problem? The problem is that you get used to what's good. And then you start to be upset and annoyed by what's missing. Yeah? This is the recipe for disasters, right? You're married to a woman or to a man. Let's say, you know, you have a family, and the moment you stop counting your blessings, you stop focusing what's great about your life together with that person, or you have a job. The moment you stop looking at the greatness of that job, you start to look at what? What's missing. And you start to get a longer and longer and longer list till it becomes, that list is becoming everything. It takes over everything. And then you start to be a complainer. While people looking at you and say, is that person crazy? Look how many blessings they have. The moment you're not training yourself to look at the blessings and to be thankful for them, you lost it. Korach was Moses' cousin. He was wise. He had the Holy Spirit. He was blessed. He was one of the people carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Can you imagine? Not everybody was allowed to get close. That one of his jobs was to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Only very few people were allowed to get to approach such a holiness. So what happened? So the Talmud is saying that not just this, Korach was the richest person on earth. The story, he found the treasure that Joseph buried during his kingdom and so on, and he took that money out of Egypt, and so he was rich, the richest person on earth. You want to say in Hebrew, somebody is like terribly rich, you say he's rich as Korach, right? Another way, so he was rich, he was close to Moses, he was a great sage, he was carrying the ark. But he thought, you know, his cousins were the son of Amram. Amram was the oldest brother from the four sons of Yitzhar, the son of Kehat, the son of Levi. Okay, the son of Jacob. So in the line, he was the most respected. That was Yitzhar. His son was Amram. Amram was the first. So Aaron got the priesthood. Moses got the kingdom. And Amram did not have any more sons. So Korach was the son of the second son of, no, I'm sorry, of Kehat. He was the second son of, he was the son, the firstborn of the second son of Kehat. That was Yitzhar. So Korach was sure that he's next in line in getting precious jobs. And then suddenly, Moses appoints the son of the fourth, his youngest uncle, to be the head of the tribe of Levi. That freaked Korach totally. He was sure he's getting the job. Hey, Korach, don't you have enough? Don't you think what you've got is enough? You know, somebody else should get the job. And by the way, why do you think you're supposed to get the job? Did you come to Moses and say, what are the qualifications? Why did God tell you? So what is Korach doing? And this is what this parasha is about. If you don't see the difference, that what's in common, all of these three parashot come in the month of Gemini. And what about the month of Gemini? Gemini is about thinking, thinking, thinking. It's all logic. But we know today, science is teaching us that nothing is logic. First, you have an opinion, you have an emotion, then you invent a logic to justify it. Whatever we say and we do, it's a gut feeling. We're not, that's, you know, there was Daniel, Professor Kahneman, Daniel Kahneman, he got the Nobel Prize, that he proved that people do not make rational decisions about economy. Which means they don't make rational decisions about anything. First you feel, first you have an opinion, then you start to justify it. You develop, always you can develop a logic. Why is it right? So, we spoke about it last week when we spoke about the spies. How the greatest people next to Moses messed it up that big. And the answer was, we're not judging them. It's a message for us. We can never, never trust our logic. So what's left? If I can't trust my logic, what's left? What is there to trust? Oh. So, I'll go back to the famous two stories. There was this convert who comes to Hillel the Elder. It's over 2,000 years ago. He says, teach me the whole Torah standing one foot. And Hillel says, love others as you love yourself. 100 years later, Rabbi Akiva says, the whole Torah, the ground rule, the basic rule of the whole Torah is love others as you love yourself. What's the connection? This is not religion. Yeah, we're not talking about religion. We talk about the wisdom. You want to connect to the best, you have first of all to realize, is there love or there is no love? What does it mean? We know very well, all of us, and if you don't know, it's time you should know that we can't trust our logic. How many times we were 100% sure that something is this way and not the other way, we will be ready to gamble, to bet on all what we have on that concept because we were 100% sure it is right. And then comes the humiliating blow that shows, like, how could I be so stupid to think that that was right? Now, if you are a thinking human being, it happens to you many times. Many, many, many times. As life goes by, you just have that blow again, and what do you do then? You blame the situation, you blame the person. How could he fool me? But if you really think about it, the message was written on the wall. But you didn't want to read it. So the question is like this. Again, logic has no validity. We should always have certainty that our logic, you can't rely on it. So what's left? So what we have is what Hillel the Great, the Elder, and Rabbi Akiva said. Love others as you love yourself. When is that we really love others? When we are full with a real, true light. Only then we have unconditional love to others. How do I know I'm going on the right path when I can't find any need to judge other people? I don't need to judge them. I see their faults, I see their mistakes, and I just feel like helping them. And if I can, I do. And sometimes you realize you can't. There's nobody there to listen. Okay? And even if you know what comes from the heart goes to the heart, but if you come into that person, you see what's wrong, and the only reaction is you want to help them, that's loving others as you love yourself. Where is this coming from? So we learned last week. Faith. When a person has a true connection to the light, number one result is you feel love towards other people. And also to yourself. Because it says love others as you love yourself. Right? This is Leviticus chapter 18, verse 19. Okay? You love others as you love yourself, which means you love yourself. You're not complaining about yourself. You're not upset about yourself. You're not feeling guilty all the time. You're not feeling sour. You don't think you are the best thing that the Creator ever created. But you're content. You're happy. Why are you happy? Because you connect to the Creator. And that gives you the ability to see what's wrong with you, what's right with you, and gives you also the faith that, you know, what's right about me, I cherish and I am thankful about it. And what's wrong with me, I'll work on it. It's very simple. How do I know I'm there? I can tolerate other people. I don't have to go around and judge this one and this one, this one, this one, this one. But however, the problem is, Korach had an expectation. And the problem with expectation, it's draining. Because it's against the rule. What is the rule? If you want to be on the right path, you have to work on your connection to the Creator, connection to the light. That's called emunah. Somehow translated, not the best to say, as faith. What does it mean, faith? Faith, trust and connection to the Creator. Do you get that for free? No, this is something you have to work on by meditation, reading the Zohar, working on yourself and working on yourself and being a creator. And the most important thing is looking inside and being on guard. Whenever the reaction comes in, anger, upset, blame, all of these emotions, passion, I'm talking about from lust, or negativity like being bitter, being upset, being miserable, being a victim, being stressed out, the moment you have the feel, no time, your brain will start giving the logic, why is it right to feel like this? That's not your job. Your job is to kill it before it kills you. Very simple. How do you kill it? You stop the reaction because you realize that this reaction is darkness and you connect to the light. What if you couldn't connect to the light? You dial again and again and again till you have a line. And a line in Hebrew is kav. And that's what hope is about, because tikva means the ability to create a line to the Creator. When you have a line to the Creator, that's called hope. What do I mean hope? Real hope. Certainty. I know I'm on the right path. Why? I'm earning it. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best, and God will do the rest. And I'm not upset about it. How do I know? The moment I start finding myself judging other people, what do? I have expectations. And people, my boss is amazing. Everybody admires him. Okay? Every person working for him, he knows when it's the birthday and he makes a nice party, gives you a card, whatever. The guy really knows how to do it. I admire my boss. Then comes my birthday and he forgot. 20 other people, he didn't forget. He forgot me. From that moment on, what happens? You switch. And now you're looking after him. You have him, targeted. You're looking for, something's wrong with him, your boss. Not with you. But isn't that normal to have expectations? It is normal, but we are not here to be normal. We're here to be abnormal. We are here to be superhumans. How? We have to be godly. And to be godly means, what's the first rule on the two tablets? I'm the Lord your God, not your boss. You think the boss at work is your boss? No, I'm the boss. They took you out of the house of slavery from Egypt. You're not a slave anymore. The moment your happiness is dependent on your boss, if he gives you the attention on your birthday, or gives you a raise, that will affect your state of mind. You transgress the first of the ten. The second one, thou shalt not have another God. You just transgress two, the most important ones. Now the rest are not important anymore. Now you framed your boss already. He's humans. Humans make mistakes. Instead of coming, boss, you celebrate everybody's birthday. You didn't do mine. What happened? Are you stressed out? There's something. There's a problem. I don't know. Can I help you? Instead of looking, my boss remembers everybody's birthdays. He didn't remember mine. Did I do something wrong? Let's talk about it. If you don't do that, you become a victim of your own expectations and your own disappointment. And then it starts to, you can have an amazing job. It's over with. You will kill it. You will destroy it. You'll find what's wrong with your job, with your boss, with your job, whatever. Whatever happens to you, see, that's not for you. See, they're not good enough for you. They don't appreciate you. Instead of going to the boss, what happened? And the boss could tell you, I had a rough day, my mother went to the hospital. People have issues. They don't always there 100% of the time for you. Why? Because they're humans. And humans fall. And when they fall, instead of being upset about them that they fell, you have to give them a hand and lift them up. If you want to be godly. If you want to be a creator, if you want to be the light. But that happens only when you have faith that says, I am connected, because emunah is connection. I am connected to the light. I'm working my connection to the light. And if my boss didn't say happy birthday or something like this, why do I have the need for that? And if I get upset about it, I should look inside and look at my, you know, the fake self. It says, he didn't remember your birthday. He remembered everybody. What are you, a baby? You human being? You're supposed to be godlike. Is God affected? Let's say you forget to thank God for something he gave you. Does he get upset? I'll give you a secret. No, he doesn't. Why? He's the endless. The endless never change. Why? If he changes, not the endless anymore. So when we connect to that state of mind, as it says in last week's parasha, Hayesh ba'etzim ayin, Moses says he needs to check with these leaders. Is there a tree, which means the tree of life, or ayin? Ayin is even a higher level. Ayin means the endless. The energy of complete connection to the light without any limitation or judgment. Moses wanted to know if they are ready for that. They were not. So he knew, says Azor, he could not enter the Holy Land because the nation of Israel was not ready to experience something so high. They needed to get more points, more work, so they can get in and be ready to do what? To live. What I mean to live? To make mistakes. Making mistakes is human. Overcoming the mistakes is superhuman. It's godly. That's what we're here for. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to perfect. We're not here to find perfect people to live with, because there are none. We're here to find people I can cooperate with, and when they fall, I would lift them up. And when I fall, they will lift me up. And if they're not, I'm going to get up by myself, because I'm not going to sit there and say, oh God, that's not fair. It's not fair. It's always fair. The fact that you don't see that, but it's always fair. We have no idea what we did last day, the last day, the last week. How many people did we hurt last past life? We have no idea, because we can't see 360 degrees 24/7. We can't. But when things come at us, they come for one reason: to give us the opportunity to rise to the occasion. You fell. You feel upset, you were hurt. This is your job. Re-establish the faith. Re-establish your connection. Your enemy is not the other person. It's not the situation, it's not the economy. No one is your enemy. There's only one enemy. It's your fake you that tries to find, you know, I'm right, they're wrong. No, you're not here to be right, you're here to be the light. Remember that? And being the light means that whatever happened, it happened for a good reason. And the best reason, the most logical reason, the most important reason is whatever happens and it aggravates me or upsets me or makes me scared, that emotion is the enemy that I have to eliminate. First, eliminate the emotion. What? Because that emotion, the moment you give into that emotion, it takes over you. And then you start doing stuff that, you know, no one with a brain will be able to do that. History is full of people making mistakes that everybody's looking at them like, what? You're smarter than that. You know, how could you do that? And the answer is, you think you're smart, the moment you are emotionally non-stable, being smart is not an issue. You're not smart. You outsmart yourself. You use your logic to fool yourself first. Who do you fool? Why? Your spouse, your children, they know you're fooling yourself. Your best friends, they know you're fooling yourself. The question is how to get you out of there. That was a problem with Korach. He was hurt. And that moment he did not kill it. And what happened? He was holding it in. What's happening when you're holding it in on someone? It's like yeast. It multiplies and multiplies and it rises and it ferments, creates some heat, and it boils and it boils and it boils. And then, why is going to tell anyone that he wanted to be, I wanted to be the head of the tribal Levi? He was smart enough to realize that that's whining and nobody. So what did he do? He aimed higher. Look at Moses. He's making this mistake and this mistake. He started to see all the mistakes. Why? He wanted to discredit Moses. And if he discredits Moses as a whole, he can grab the job. Because it's not just that problem with Moses. All his decisions and lies 2 months are wrong. He has to be replaced with somebody else. Me. Why you? Why not somebody else? No logic. Oh, but Moses, who's the one who got you out of Egypt? Who's the one that led you in the desert? Who's the one who went up to the mount to bring the tablets? You want to challenge all of that? Are you kidding? The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up Korach and his family and everything they belonged. Not one needle survived. And he was so wise. When you're not focusing inside on our own reactions, dark emotions. How do I know it's a dark emotion? People irritate me. I'm becoming intolerant to people. Now I know there's a problem. Go deep inside. Go deeper. Go even deeper till you find that emotion, because if you're not killing it when it's small, it will grow up and kill you. Why? Because after Mount Sinai revelation, we are getting right now all the danger we can lose it. You know, on Mount Sinai, we had such an amazing experience seeing the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But we came down back to earth with a body, with emotions, and we get hurt because we're people. And our job is to overcome the hurt. Our job is to overcome the fear. Our job is to overcome the frustration. Our job is to overcome all of those emotions that are not in affinity with loving others. Why? Just because it's fun. Just because that's the way it is. Because when you love others, you're healthier, you're smarter, and you're luckier. And when you're moaning and complaining and you're bitter, you're not nice to people. And then the line is cut off. And when the line with the Creator is cut off, you don't have a line. Can you imagine? You don't have a line, right? No. Can you imagine living without a line, with a phone line? Okay? So think what it is when you have no line to the Creator. And that line has to be maintained. When we are in line with the Creator, the right thoughts come in. Because from the Creator come what? The inspiration, the innovation, the invention, right? All of this in stuff that bring it in from outside the box, that comes from that line. And you want it from that line. You don't want a line to hell, because that's where Korach went to. And how do I know I'm wrong? Korach was sure he's right. Moses knew he's wrong. Why? He was complaining. He was upset. He was bitter. He was negative. He didn't see Moses. He saw his hurt ego. When your ego is hurt, bad sign for whom? For you. Because you're going to make all the decisions that will get you into hell. Okay? Says Azor. Remember we said, we asked the question, what did Korach take? He doesn't say. It's the whole parasha starts with a verb, and he took. And then he doesn't say, what did he take? Mal vayikach umeshiv, most commentators saying, lakach etza ra'a le'atzmo. He took a bad advice. From whom? From his inner voice. This little hurt voice. This little moaning voice. It's not fair. It's always fair. Okay, let's finish with that right now. It's always fair. Now ask the question, how do I get the lemon into a lemonade? How do I turn the fall into rising? You know what they say is in Hebrew, yerida letzoch aliyah. If you go down, it means that you're getting the speed to go up. Okay? If you think like this, you can't blame anyone, because if you blame somebody, you lose the momentum of the going down and going up. Right? You lose the momentum. You're so anticipating. You're so excited. I fell down so I can rise to the occasion. So I can build myself up. Nobody goes to the gym and build muscle without pain, without going the extra mile, which means tearing your muscles. Right? Oh, I go to the gym. I do this. And I come back. Wow, I'm looking like Apollo. Right? Because I just paid for the gym. It doesn't work this way. Everybody knows that. No pain, no gain. Okay, what's new about it? So you want to be Moses without giving, sacrificing yourself like Moses did? Do you want to be Aaron without loving everyone unconditionally? You can't stand Moses. You can't stand anyone. You just think about your own humiliation. How can you become Aaron? Or take his job. You could. If you worked harder than Aaron, you could get his job. Very simple. Why not? That's how it works. Lakach etzar al atzmo. He took a bad advice from whom? From his false, fake self. This hurt self. Kol harodef achar she'eno shelo borech mipanav. Whoever chases after what doesn't belong to him, it runs away from him. The Lord, not just this, you focus on what's not yours, you're going to lose what you have. Korach radaf achar she'eno shelo. Korach tried to get what doesn't belong to him. Shelo ibed, he lost what was his. He had an amazing life. He was like creme de la creme, and he lost it all. Va'acher lo yerviach. You know what? But he was wise. Oh, he had the Holy Spirit. What? How could he do that? He had the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit, and he saw that Samuel, the prophet, will come out of him. If my great-grandchild will be Samuel, the prophet, I can't go wrong. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit, the moment you get upset, the moment your ego is being hurt, the moment you blame, forget it. It's not on your side anymore. It could lose it this way. Korach lost it. He was not the first one. He was not the last one. What in here we learn is nobody is immune from falling. We all fall. The question is, do we train ourselves to catch it on the right moment, before it becomes too bad? You know what? It's never too late. You can always say, okay, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I said the wrong things. I was not supposed to say that. I was not supposed to say it this way. I was not supposed to... First of all, if you do it with love, what comes from the heart, will go to the heart. If you're just authentic, what do you mean authentic? Not authentic with your pain. Authentic with the light, because that's the only thing that is real authentic. All the rest is superficial. Why? It's always wrong. It's always destructive. Yeah, but I have to express my feelings. No, you're not supposed to. If these are terrible feelings, you have to kill them. How do you kill them? I always take the symbol of self-control and becoming a creator as a stop sign. The stop sign has two meanings. One, stop, come to complete halt. The second one is immediately choose a direction. And when the intersection is clear, go there. Go there. Because a stop sign is also a no parking sign. A lot of people do stop. They say, oh, I'm restricting. You know what happens when you're restricting and you're constipated? You blow because you're parking where you're not allowed to. I'm restricting. Terrible. You're harboring those yeasts, and meanwhile, as you're restricting, it's rising, and you're a victim, and you're miserable. And how do you know? There's no love, not for yourself and not for others. But if you choose a direction, the light, and you go for the light, and you let go, they hurt me. So they did. Who said they hurt me? It's the dark side of my consciousness. So what do you tell him? You deserved it properly. Probably you deserved it. Okay, let's go to the light. What do you choose? You have to choose. You have to choose life. You have to choose light. I'm choosing. I was hurt. I was humiliated. I didn't get my expectations right. Somebody betrayed me. Just a second. Did he promise you to be always nice to you? Maybe yes. But people break promises because they're humans. There's only one contract you have with him. This is the only one. All the others, they come and they go. People fall. You could be sorry. No, they fell. They need help. Choose the light and go for it. And if you don't go for it, try again. Again till you get the line. How do you know you got the line? You're not hating people anymore. They're not upsetting you anymore. What a relief. For whom? First of all, for you. Then for them. Because the moment you're relieved, they're relieved because you come to people that you were so upset about them with simple, loving smile. I know you hurt me, but you have your reasons. You're okay, you have your pain. None of my business. Your hurt is not supposed to be mine. The fact that you fell, I have to fall also. The fact that you made a mistake, two mistakes make a, two minus makes a plus? No. If you have a minus 50,000 in the bank, and you add another minus 51, what do you get? Minus 101, correct? It doesn't become zero. Never, ever. Whoever says, oh, two minus no, he doesn't. The only way to turn the minus into plus is to release the minus, to release the pain, release the hurt, and to say that's what being human is about, is to look at it, identify it, stop, choose the light, leave it behind, and go to the light. You are with the light. Why did you get there? If you didn't fall, you could not choose the light. How do you get energy done? Something has to be burned. Something has to go down and then go up, right? You know how the engine is working in the car. There's a blow. There's a vacuum. There's a blow. From the ups and downs, you get energy, and the engine moves. That's what life is about. If everything was nice all the time, we would find a way to kill it. So don't wish it. Just ask for more opportunities to find what's wrong in us so we can stop and choose the light, go to the light. You go to the light, with the light comes what? The understanding. Now I see it in a different light. Yes, before that it was not light, it was darkness. And now suddenly, how could I be such a fool? I really thought I should do that. Yes, when we are negative, when we are selfish, when we are hurt, when we don't have the line, we can invent all kinds of stupid stuff that looks to us so... So no, logic has nothing to do with reality. Only logic that comes out of love. If the ground that you build your logical building is love, appreciation, thankfulness, you can trust your logic. But if your logic is based on hurt, pain, blame, don't even listen to it because it will drag you down like Korach. You're going to start doing what you're not supposed to do. You're going to go after stuff that you're not supposed to go after. You're going to find yourself saying stuff that you have to be sorry for it. But somebody asked me today, but shouldn't you say the truth? Who cares for the truth? Fools say the truth. You have to do what's right, what's good, not what's the truth. In the name of truth, so much wrong was done in the name of the truth. And an example, the angels come to Abraham on the special day. They tell him, tell Sarah that in a year from now, she's going to have a son, your son. She'll be holding that son. And Sarah in the tent, she hears that. And inside her mind, she laughs. And she says to herself, how can I get pregnant when my husband is so old? Oh, she was young. She was only 89 years old. But he's old. He was 99. Oh, that's very old. God says immediately to Abraham, why did Sarah say, how could I have a child? Why did she laugh about it? How could I have a child when I'm so old? Did God say the truth? No. He had the message across without saying the whole truth. Why? He did not want to mess the moment by getting Abraham aggravated about his wife. So if saying the truth will aggravate people with no need, don't say the truth. You don't have to say the whole truth. You know, you have to say what will bring the person and the reality and the situation into a better place. That's what you have to say. That's being wise. Saying the truth is not so wise many times. And not everybody can take the truth. Not everybody can understand the truth. So, I'm not supposed to say the truth. No, you're supposed to say what is going to get the best results. The truth doesn't look the same from other angles. Okay? So, Korach halach b'machloket. So Korach went with dispute. When we fight against people with dispute, with hurt, with upset, ma'u machloket, what does it mean, the dispute? Harchaka v'dichui. The machloket, first of all, the word lechalek means to separate. And also harchaka, going far away, and rejection. Of what? The light. When you find yourself in dispute, the first one to get hurt is yourself, because you are cut off the light. Hachaka v'dichui shelemala v'mata. Then you cut off from the light above and the light below. Mi sherotze litchot tikun ha'olam. And when you do that, it's like you delay the redemption. That's how tough it is. Instead of bringing the redemption closer by overcoming the judgment and the negativity and turn it into positivity, the moment you accept it and you multiply it, you delay the redemption. And as we said last week, redemption does not depend on the Messiah. It depends on each one of us. In order to bring in the Messiah, we need to bring the redemption. How do we bring the redemption? By taking responsibility, full responsibility for whatever we feel. The moment we do that, we have responsibility for whatever what we say, we first think, say, decide, act upon. מי שרוצה לדחות תיקון עליו, whoever wants to delay the fixing, the תיקון of the world, and the Messiah, יהיה נאבד מכל העולמות. He cuts himself from all the worlds, and he's getting himself lost, because he goes against the universe. מחלוקת היא הרחקה ודיחוי של השלום. Dispute is pushing away shalom. And shalom is not what people think it is. When people say shalom is peace, no, it's not. The word peace, lefayes in Hebrew, means to make people not to fight with each other. That's not shalom. Shalom comes with the word shalem. Shalem is a whole. When I really connect to love others as you love yourself, I can only look at the other person and see he's part of me. He completes me. I need him. When I need him, I'll do my best to make him happy, to lift him up, and to help him to be functional. And I'm not taking any mistake he has. Oh, I got you. You made a mistake. So what? You want to kill me now? He can't without me. No, we'll throw you to hell right now. Well, why we are so eager to find somebody else's mistakes? That's so terrible. So humiliating to think like this. You need that person. You need him happy. You need him complete. You can't just, you know, look for what's for when he fails and then we laugh at him, we criticize them. That's terrible. This is so terrible. We're here to help them, not to mock them when they fail. Shalom means when the other people around you, you look at them as, I'm so thankful they're around me because I can't without them. I'll do everything I can to empower them, to support them so they can function. When they function, we all have what we need. When I empower them, that's Nasor, the whole parasha, the parasha before. When I am in that level of consciousness, that is called shalom. When you're always waiting for somebody else to make a mistake to mock him, that's not shalom. This is terrible. It's stupidity. מי שחולק על השלום, whoever disputes shalom, חולק על שמו הקדוש, he disputes the holy name of God. Because shalom is one of the names of God. משום ששמו הקדוש, his holy name, is called shalom. Think, where can God dwell more than in harmony, unity, loving, appreciation, and supporting and empowering each other? That's a place God dwells. The moment two people sit together and they do something and they really trust each other and they really support each other and they really care for each other, and when the other person fails, you're there to help him out of it, not to catch him. When two people like this, God is in between them. When three is a crowd, there's more of it. When it's four, when it's five, the more of it, the more the merrier. That's what we want to have in our lives. And somebody has to start. בואו, come and see. אין העולם עומד אלא על שלום. The world stands only on peace. Not peace, shalom. At least we said, when people don't fight with each other, you know, I know some couples, they don't fight with each other, but they don't talk to each other either. They simply try to minimize any kind of, okay, she said, he said, so what, you know, forget about it. That's not shalom. Shalom is when you complement each other. You realize you're nothing without your other side. That is shalom. כשברא הקדוש ברוך הוא את העולם, when the creator created the universe, לא היה יכול להתקיים עד שבא וישרה עליהם שלום. The world was not able to exist till the creator brought shalom. How? Shabbat. That's why we say Shabbat shalom. Because Shabbat is this the spirit of wholeness, of completion, that we have to immerse into it. So we take it the whole week with us and look how do we create that feel. That's why you can't make Shabbat by yourself. You need to eat with people. You need to celebrate with people. You need to pray with people. It's like, why? Because that togetherness gives you the feel. Shabbat can dwell only in that togetherness. Because that's what shalom is. Shabbat is shalom של העליונים. It's shalom of the upper worlds and shalom of the lower worlds. אז נתקיים העולם. Only when Shabbat came, the world stopped from falling apart. על כן, מי שחולק על השלום, whoever disputes שלום, יובד מן העולם, will be lost from this world. And that's what Korach did. The moment he allowed that friction to simmer and swell inside him, he lost it. He brought himself to such stupidity that every child can understand, Korach, what are you doing? You want to dispute Aaron HaKohen? You want to dispute Moshe Rabbeinu? Oh, they're humans. Yeah, but you want to dispute with anger? Why didn't you go to Moshe and said, Moshe, I saw that you appointed Elitzafan ben Uziel to be the head of Shevet Levi. You know, tell you the truth, I am next in line, and I thought it was me, so please share with me, because help me. You know, when you come to a person like this, even if it's your enemy, you know, I'm talking about, and you do it with love, they will, you know, sincerely, Moshe will say, I don't think God sent me the order, and I do it. Wow, I didn't realize you're being hurt. I thought you have so much and you don't need anything else, and I thought that God wanted to give to Elitzafan because he had, you know, he needed to take his place, to, you know, leadership, whatever. You have leadership. And then we'll discuss it. And then it's over. But when you're full of ego, that negative ego, you're upset and you're not talking about it. You know, sometimes you can't talk with the person, so talk with the friend. And you know what? They say never walk alone at night. This is night when you're upset. Because, why? If you walk alone at night and you hear something behind you, you can have some crazy thoughts, you can get a heart attack just from the, and it was nothing. But if you're walking with someone, it's, forget about it. It's over. So when we have doubts and stuff about Moshe, you could speak about it with someone. He spoke about it with his wife. You know what she did? She fanned the fire. But there was another lady, the wife of On Ben Pelet. He came home with the same fan. He was speaking with Korach, and he comes home and his wife is saying to him, what happened to you? You don't look good. You're pale. What happened? You're green. She said, I just came from this committee with Korach. And she said, oh my God, you are too much excited. What happened? He said, okay, I know the problem. You need to sleep right now. No, but we have to go to Moses. We have to dispute him, whatever. She says, you're going to sleep right now. And she sits there, and she's waiting for them. And when they come to pick him up, she says, she's not going. He's asleep. He has a headache. He cannot go. No, we go to his bedroom. The Talmud says she moved her hair cover. And, you know, maybe she pulled the sleeve. Maybe she opened a button. They were righteous. They ran away. She scared the heck out of them. And that's how she saved her husband. He was not there when everybody else went to hell or burned. Because she saw on him, she was a wife. She didn't say, you're wrong, you're this, how dare you dispute Moshe? You go to sleep. You go to sleep, it's like, you know. And you know what it says. Shena l'reshaim tova lahim v'tova l'olam. Evil people, it's good for them to sleep. It's good for them, it's good for the world. And Rabbi Azaklor is saying, maybe something evil got into you. When you know, go to sleep. When your soul leaves, maybe it will leave you. And you know, everything in the morning looks much better. So we have to remember that our job is to connect to holiness. Our job is to connect to shalom. Our job is to connect to light. Our job, and to fight for it. This is our job, to fight inside. And if you can't do that, go and get help from somebody who loves you and say, you know, I'm having this, like, help me to get out of it. And you don't have a person to tell it to, pray to God. God, please take it away from me. Please, I want to connect to the light between stopping the intersection and build the line with the light, because that will save you from disease, misunderstanding, all kind of terrible stuff. Rabbi Yossi Amar, still reading from the Zohar. Shalom Rav Lovei Torah. Shalom, a lot of peace, shalom for the one who loves the Torah. The Torah is shalom. Shekatuv v'chol netivoteh shalom, all its paths are shalom. So you see people who say they love God, they care for God, and they make disputes everywhere. They're in the wrong place in that moment. Do not join them. Try to help them. But don't fan the flare. Korach ba lifgom ha-shalom shel mala. Korach came to blemish that shalom of above, which is the Torah. Which is, why the Torah? Because the Torah is central column. What is central column? The ability to make shalom between the right and the left. Between the chesed and the gvura. The caring and loving and the judgment. Yeah, we need to judge. Only when it comes from a place of love. Only then. Only when Isaac is bound by Abraham. Only when your judgment, you know, about, you know, that's right, this is wrong, whatever, comes with love. You can't bind it and bind it till it's bound. How do you know it's bound? You're not irritated anymore. You find unconditional love. What does it mean, unconditional love? You don't need any excuse to love the person. You just love him. That's how you know you got the line. Thank you. And lots of good luck with our work for the whole world.